Welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 96, and I am Libya, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
Amy from Encino.
Allison from Tarzana.
Marcia from Encino.
And Peter from West Hollywood.
Yay! Thank you guys for coming on the show. And this week we have news about ABC's has ordered a pilot from the creators of Vampire Diaries. The show is going to be called 666 Park Avenue, and it's based on a series of books. And it's about the fact that all the residents that live at this apartment complex all have made deals with the devil. So I was like, all right, that could be interesting. I might check it out. Well, if it goes to series, at least. The next piece of news is that the season 3 premiere of Tremé has been pushed back to the fall of 2012. Because I think it was a summer show, right?
Yes, it was. It's such a weird thing. That really is. Well, I wonder what the reasoning for that is.
Yeah, this might be a new show that they're trying to premiere or make a spot for. I don't know, but that just they just announced that. And I just also wanted to remind everybody that Spartacus Vengeance premieres next week, January 27th.
Yay!
And also, we have some videos of it up on our Weedonopolis page, and I will be putting out a podcast that's just got the interviews. So you have that to look forward to. All right. Let's get on. Oh, does anybody else have any news?
Yes, Glee, in a couple of weeks, we'll have a Michael Jackson tribute episode.
So that means all Michael all the time. I like it.
Me too.
All right. Let's get on with the shows. We will be on a timer. We're on a shorter timer than normal because we have an inordinate amount of shows we're going to talk about. There was a lot of premieres and a lot of premieres of mid-season shows and January shows. So let's get to it. All right. First up, we're going to talk about Once Upon a Time. And this week's episode was a Hansel and Gretel kind of takeoff. And I actually have to say, following the one from last week with Rumpelstiltskin, which was really good, I felt this one kind of fell flat. So.
Yeah, I agree. I think they
should have used more of Rumpelstiltskin. The way they were mentioning this, I thought he was supposed to be the bad guy on this one. But, you know, he's turning into being the good guy.
Well, I don't think he's a good guy.
I wouldn't go quite that far.
Well, okay, but he pointed her in the direction of the father, and if you read the card, there was no card. He knew who the father was, which tells us he has his memory.
Well, we already knew he had his memory.
Yeah, of course. But I think he doesn't do anything just to be good. He does things for his own little nefarious purposes.
Right. He had a reason. And basically, the mayor wanted the kids to get sent to foster care for some reason. So if the mayor was for it, he was against it. That's pretty much how he operates.
Yeah, but they're always at odds with each other.
Right. I just thought that the kids, their whole storyline was just kind of... We spent too much time with them because, one, they're not going to be regular. Well, as far as I know, they're not going to be regulars, and I just didn't care about them. Whether they got together or were split up or whatever, it was just kind of blah.
But it was nice to see Emma Caulfield.
Oh. Yeah, give her something to do for a week. She gets a paycheck. That's nice. Hi, Emma.
It's true. There was more potential to the story, and they killed it off. Quite too fast.
Yeah, it just didn't feel like it was something that I needed information on. It very much felt like a standalone, and it just, even the flashbacks, there wasn't anything about any of the characters. Normally in the flashbacks, we get characters that we know and care about, so we get some of their backstory. This time, the flashback was about the guest stars, and I didn't care about the flashback, I didn't care about the present day, so I thought that this one kind of fell a little flat, but...
Yeah. Or at least it some way ties into the main characters. And it did kind of in a little way because we got to hear a little bit about, you know, the kid's father or at least a lie about the kid's father and you know, something about that. But it wasn't enough. It didn't, in my mind, justify why we were getting this whole Hansel and Gretel story.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason is that the mayor really, really wanted Emma out of the town. And the boy was so worried that if she left, she could not get back in. So
well, no, he knows that she has...
to give up the two kids to get Emma out of town.
I think the most interesting thing about the story actually happened in the very last minute of the show, which is when a stranger finally comes into town.
Ah, that's true. That's true. All right.
And, you know, we'll see that play out next week.
All right, let's move on. Timer's up. Next up is House of Lies. And I raved about it last week, and apparently you guys disagree with me. But this week's episode was the whole owners of a big team, basketball team, getting divorced, and our team comes in and they try to figure out the best way to do a deal between the couple. And they end up basically blackmailing them into staying together. So, interesting. What'd you guys think?
I like this one better, actually, than the first one, simply because it wasn't as frenetic. I didn't feel like I was getting, like, everything, including the kitchen sink, shoved at me to go like, yeah, and we're about this, and we're about that, and we're about that. And it just seemed, like, less hysterical than the pilot episode did. Less intent on you know, trying to be, like, you know, we're you know, bursting out of the envelope. Aren't we crazy? It just seemed to be more settling into the characters. So I felt that it was better in that sense, you know, that I could actually get to know the characters without having all this weirdness thrown at me all of a sudden. So in that sense, I liked the show better. And I hope that they continue more in that area. On the other hand, you know, I still don't like anybody. There's nobody who I can really warm to on this show, which I guess is part of it. You know, I mean, you're not really supposed to. They're not positive.
Well, I thought Kristen Bell's kind of a nice person. I think she's the only nice person in the group, I think.
Well,
how do you think they all
in
work
a way? You know, none of them are terribly conscientious people.
How do you think they all work as a team?
Oh,
what's your opinion?
I think they work well as a team. Mainly, Don Cheadle is the leader. The rest of them fall in line, and I think it works all right. So,
yeah.
I mean, I like it. But Peter, you get your 5 seconds. Go ahead.
You know, I'm a big sitcom person, so I think if this show was on network, because I don't have cable, so I think if the show was on network, which it couldn't be because of all the nudity and swearing and everything, but like if it was a network show, I think I feel like I would put a season pass on it and be like, all right, I'll watch it. Because, I mean, you know, comedies can get better over time. But for the work I have to do to see this show, it's not really doing it for me. Like, I don't think Kristen Bell has anything to do. And I think Don Cheadle's talking to the screen is really tiring to me. I just don't. It's just an old device. And also the biggest thing is, I don't really think it's a very interesting consulting firm. Like, I don't think that's interesting. Like, I mean, the biggest thing I like is the production value. I think the New York setting is very nice, or the LA, like when they're going back and forth and flying. I like the way it looks, but I don't really think I laughed, and I don't care about the characters. And not in the sense of that they're kind of despicable. I don't really find them interesting. So it's very much, it's not a bad show. It's just very much a mediocre C. It's just kind of meh. I can't, until someone said basketball, I have no idea what, I saw the show like a week ago and I can't remember what happened, so.
I actually would disagree with you guys in that I think John Cheadle is very charming. I mean, he's not supposed to be a nice guy, but I actually am enthralled by him on the screen and I think he carries the show very well. So I'm in. I mean, I already made my season pass and I'm going to watch the whole series. Like, I'm paying for Showtime to watch the show. So I like it.
Does Showtime ever have any good comedies? Is Shameless good? Has anybody seen that? I didn't like Weeds. Are they just not their thing?
I haven't watched Shameless.
I have no idea.
We're
way over time, or people. We have to move on. All right.
Okay. Never mind. Go ahead.
All right. Next up, we want to talk about The Fades, which is on BBC America. It premiered this weekend. What'd you guys think?
I was so bored I could barely stay conscious through it.
Wow.
I was so utterly, utterly bored to death by this thing, and I couldn't find a single character who I cared about, or, I mean, they ranged actually from I don't care about this person to I actively want this person dead, except on this show, if they're dead, they just come back again as a fade or a ghost or whatever, so I can't get rid of them even that way.
Well,
It was just incredibly annoying. The dialogue was inane. The plot was boring. The contacts between the characters didn't even make any sense. I could never figure out how the ghost hunter guy, fade hunter guy, found the kid after, you know, they met the first time. I mean, he doesn't know his name. He doesn't know where he lives. How he suddenly showed up in his apartment is never explained unless that scene was cut out by BBC America. The whole thing was just so dreary. I find myself wondering if I really want to tune in to see another episode.
All right. Next, anybody else see it? We're trying to go quick. Sorry.
About a little bit of it. It's not very original.
No.
Like you were saying.
Peter, you didn't get a chance to watch it. I just think that you would probably, Peter, I think you would like it more because it's more of a horror show than anything else. But I actually really liked it. I mean, I've seen the whole season, and I think that the whole, the foreshadowing that they're having with the visions he's having with the he's seeing like the ashes and stuff fall and what all that means. Like, I think I watched the first episode and I kind of thought, well, cause see, the thing that's weird is I'm colored by the fact that I've seen the whole season, which I love. And so I'm trying to remember what I felt like after I watched the first episode. I know I didn't love it after the first episode. And I think it was like the third, I think I saw the preview at the end of the second episode that actually propelled me through. But so it's kind of weird. I'm not sure how to respond to what you're saying, mainly because I've seen the whole thing and the whole thing is fantastic. At least I think so. So
okay, well, the other thing I've only seen the first.
Right.
Just like Allison, I don't hate it with a fiery passion. In fact, there are some things that are on second season now that I think is absolute crap and compared to this. I think what helps is that it's British. So actually that was fine. I think it was a bit slow. I think they need to speed up. I think that the lead character and his friend are really a little older than they're supposed to be.
Well, yes, that's true.
But, well, I've gotten a bit jaded on that. However, I know how he figured out where the kid lives. That actually made sense. They talked about it. You may have fallen asleep through that part. But I think that there
entirely
were
likely.
Slow. Some parts may have been, were a little cringeworthy. The licking the eyeball and then the
fixing yeah.
I actually put my hand up in front of my face and I watched a corner of the screen until it was done. There were some things that are good and some things that are slow, but I looked at it and I thought, wow, look at all that ash. Wow, look at that thing that kind of like a hell mouth in the corner. I think they're trying to be a little of everything, but we need to always give it a series at least 3 episodes to know if we hate it. And I think it's got potential. I see a potential there. I just hope that the storyline goes a little more forward because they were trying to squeeze everybody in. You've got the teacher who's the husband of the one who died. You've got a lot of other people involved, but they really haven't talked about how they're going to be a part of this. And I look forward to seeing that happen the next 2 episodes.
All right, let's wrap this one up. We've hit our mark. So that was a varied opinions on that. Next up, we want to talk about Downton Abbey, and I'm only in season 1, but PBS is at episode 2 of season 2, right?
Right, right.
All
right,
so
hit us. I love this show.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead.
It's just a fantastic series.
Oh,
it's
you do?
It's a fantastic
series. Okay, good.
Yeah. And I think they did a great job so far. I love the second episode. Right now, they're in the process of turning Downton Abbey into a convalescent hospital for the soldiers for returning from the war. And it's wonderful how they're doing it because, you know, you'd figure, well, oh, they're going to go the heroic route and have the lord and lady of the house be all wonderful and heroic and be welcoming them with open arms. No, they're not. They hate this. No. It's they feel like their home is being invaded. And they're having all this confrontation, especially between Cora and Isabel, as to, you know, who's really the lady of the house. And I love that. It's wonderful to watch.
Amy, what do you think?
Well, it's been a little while since I saw it, but I really like how Sybil is getting involved in war efforts. Mm-hmm. And how everybody's roles are kind of slightly changing as the war progresses. But I feel bad for
Lord Grantham.
Yeah, Lord Grantham. how he thought he was going to be back in the army with his buddies, but then they revealed to him, oh no, this is just a temporary, this is just a, you know, in name only honor.
Well, because he's a little older than they want to stick in the middle of the fray, which is reasonable, but you can see from, you know, his point of view, it's sort of a blow to his pride.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting with this episode was that, you know, Lady Edith kind of rose to the challenge, which, you know, I mean, they've been playing her as being so brittle and so mean and self-centered up to this point. And for the first time, she actually kind of, you know, came out of herself and started being really helpful and started reaching out to the soldiers, and they really appreciated it. And that was kind of nice to show another side to her.
Oh, definitely. She's just been nothing but a vindictive.
Yeah.
B.
All right, so wrapping that one up, thumbs up, guys?
Oh,
thumbs
definitely.
Up.
All right. Next up, let's talk about the premiere of Lost Girl. And that one, I think only me and Peter have seen that. Is that correct, Peter?
I saw it this morning.
Okay. So I'll give my review and you can give yours. First, I'm saying it like that because I already know our reviews are very different. I liked Lost Girl starting off mainly because the lead, they very easily could have made it some 20-something young actor supposed to be playing a teenager, because the whole premise is that it's a girl who has these fae powers, but she didn't get raised in the hierarchy of the fae, and so she doesn't know who she is or what's going on, but she just knows how to use her powers. And I was, you know, they easily could have done something about somebody really young, and I think that was really tempting, but instead they pick someone who's like upper 20s, 30s to play this character, and it gives it a level of maturity that I like. And her sidekick is the like 16-year-old. So I thought, and they did the whole Batman and Robin thing. I think that's cool. The other thing I didn't like was the leaders of the light and dark side of the Fae. The actors, I guess, were okay, but I felt like both of them were playing it way over the top. Like, I was like, you guys need to tone that down. But the sidekicks, like the second in command and stuff like that of those sides, I thought they were all right. But I'm interested enough. I really want to know what's going to happen next. If I had the next episode, I would have just played it. All right, Peter, what'd you think?
Well, you know, actually, I mean, I don't think it's a terrible show or anything. It just felt very, I just didn't find anything surprising about it. And that's okay. I mean, it's okay to have a situation of like, here's a girl who doesn't know, here's a woman who has powers, and there's actually a group. I mean, just like the Nine Lives of Chloe King that we saw earlier.
Yeah, but I really feel, I feel like this has more maturity to it than that. Like, that was kind of silly.
I don't really think that, I don't think it's that mature. I mean, don't get me wrong, the actress is older, so she's not dealing with high school problems, but that to me doesn't make the, that doesn't mean that I think what the character's inner turmoil is more mature. I mean, she's a person who has been kind of rummaging around. She saved the life of this young girl, and the young girl, of course, is spunky and has a lot of one-liners, and then that's kind of about it. I mean, it's not like I was watching this going, wow, this is kind of an interesting take on Occupy Wall Street, or like, I mean, like, I don't think there's anything, I mean, well, I guess a character being older, I mean, as anybody in this podcast can attest, if you've seen Grey's Anatomy or anything, you could have television shows with people in their 30s and 40s, that doesn't mean it's mature, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I felt like it had more texture to it. That's all.
Yeah, see, I totally didn't hate it. I was just kind of like, meh, all right. Like, it just didn't do anything for me. I was like, meh, you know, so. But the girl was fine. I mean, the woman was fine. Like, you know, she seemed like an okay actress. I didn't have any. And who was the, just as a curiosity, the woman who's in the group, who's kind of the one who wanted to kill her, what is she from? She looked really familiar.
I don't remember. I agree with you. She looked familiar, she's but I don't know where she's from. But that's what IMDb is for. All right. Let's move on. We run out of time to talk about that. Next up, let's talk about Castle.
Castle.
So don't everybody go at once.
Was cute this time. It was much better, I think, than the last few episodes. Though you all kind of know the ending to it, but I think that's just how Castle rolls nowadays. But it was nice. It was a nice mixture of home life and business. The idea that the mayor is possibly being set up and that Castle believes him. But the last time Castle believed a good friend, turned out the guy was a murderer.
Right.
So there's that little concern about if Castle's taking this a little too emotionally or not. I like the way it flowed. It was nice.
Well, I mean, and you're right in that there was only one way it could end, because if the mayor's actually guilty, then Castle gets kicked off the police force, and that's exactly the end of the show. Yeah.
And yeah, the stakes were too high for him to actually end up being the guilty party.
And the mayor was not guilty, but unfortunately, he'll never be able to run for any higher office.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I thought that the most interesting thing about the episode, actually, was that they tied it back into the larger arc, you know, about the murder of Beckett's mother.
Right.
You know, whenever they get back to that, you know, it gets more interesting, you know, and I hope that eventually they resolve that whole thing. But that part was interesting. I like that.
Yeah, and you had the deep throat, dark meetings and stuff like that. And then trying to figure out how it was connected, because on the surface it didn't look like it was connected at all. You know, mm-hmm. So that was kind of interesting.
Clearly there's this larger conspiracy, and that's the interesting part.
Right. All right, so thumbs up for Castle?
Definitely. Yeah.
So, next up, let's talk about the premiere of Alcatraz. And some of us saw Alcatraz premiere at Comic-Con, and some of us saw it Monday. So,
well, I saw the first hour at Comic-Con, but I heard it's a two-hour premiere, right?
It's really two episodes. They played back-to-back is really what it was.
Oh, okay.
So we could just talk about the first episode easily. Though, actually, the second episode made me more interested in the show, truthfully. The first episode, my initial thought was pretty much, this is a combination of Lost and Fringe. Like, the casting felt very much like Fringe 2.0, but the fact that they're on an island and half the episode are flashbacks felt very much like Lost. And what's so weird is it's J.J. Abrams' show, and he's using his own thing where he does flashbacks, but because Lost was so famous for it and all these other shows started doing it as well, it feels lame now. It's so weird. So I kind of was like, oh, another flashback? Really? So what'd you think, Peter?
I would agree. It did feel a little it did feel strangely derivative and strangely almost like somebody else doing J.J. Abrams, which is weird since he produced it. But it's weird, though, because I think the premise is, I like the premise, which is, you know, that these terrible convicts escaped, disappeared from Alcatraz, you know, I don't know, I forgot how long ago.
It was in 63. Yeah, it was 63.
63 years. Oh, right. So decades ago, now they're popping up. And I'm like, well, actually, that's not a bad idea for a weekly show, because every episode you can have a new criminal and, like, what was their past and what's going on and how they're going to deal with it. Like, it's actually not a bad idea. But again, from the first hour that I saw, I didn't think the case was that interesting. I was like, meh. I mean, and I like Sam Neill, you know, I mean, he's great and everything. But you know what? I could see people telling me, like, halfway through the season that it gets really good. I could totally see that, because I think the premise and the location is solid enough that if they get some good characters and writing, it could work.
Well, so I have to say the second episode actually is much better than the first. I mean, the first introduces the blonde chick, I don't know her name. Her whole deal is she thought her father was a guard at Alcatraz and he disappeared with everybody else. Or she actually thought he died, but then when she found out everybody disappeared, she just figured her father disappeared with everybody else. And then the big reveal is that her father was actually an inmate at Alcatraz. And in the flashback that she had before she gets assigned to the case, the criminal they were chasing, she figures out is, no, it's not her father, her grandfather. So the guy that they were actually chasing was her grandfather, and he killed her partner. So she's got this double whammy of, holy crap, I'm trying to find my grandfather, and he killed my partner, so how do I feel about that? So that's slightly interesting. But the case for the second episode was better, in that the guy who escaped was a sharpshooter serial killer. So he liked to get a sniper rifle and just shoot random people in the crowd. And the task of trying to figure out where he was going to be next was a really kind of interesting puzzle. And then the flashback, the reason I actually say it's more like Lost is because there's a woman, she's Indian, and she's been part of the team for the first two episodes, and she's kind of been like working with Sam Neill, kind of his assistant. But she's definitely been on the team, and she goes on the mission with them on the second episode, and you think she's whatever, and then she gets shot in the chest, and I was like, what? And I was like, wow, they're trying to show they're going to kill people. But then in the flashback, she's in the 1960s, and she's the doctor experimenting on the patients. And so you're like, whoa. So that's very much, I felt like it was a Lost episode. So I thought the second episode was better because it made the mystery more interesting. All right. So.
All right. Okay.
That's all I got to say about that. next up, let's talk about Justified. Go.
Fantastic. Woo-hoo! I'm so glad the show's back.
It did start off really well. I think this season was a good... Well, I mean, they brought Neil McDonough, who I really like as an actor. They brought him in as the main villain for this season. So I really think that's interesting. But they basically... Half the episode was kind of reestablishing who everybody was, but it was still really, really pretty cool because I couldn't figure out why... What's his name? Went to jail. Peter, help me out.
Boyd?
Yes. I couldn't figure out why Boyd went to... Because, I mean, he picked that fight with the marshal, and I couldn't figure out why he did it, and he ended up in jail, and I was like... All right, and then you don't really get it till the end, and I was like, oh, okay. That's really
good. That was fantastic. That was just awesome. Yeah, that was really good.
At the end when they close the cell door.
Oh, yeah.
A little hint of a smile.
Yeah, but
I mean, Boyd is so, even though we all love Timothy Oliphant, Boyd is so clearly the character, I think, that all audience members, he's the fan favorite, you know?
Right. I mean, he's definitely a really big part of the show, and him wanting revenge, because at first, well, what's also funny is that his sidekicks or his guys that are working for him are idiots. Like, they store the weed, all that weed they stole, they stored it in plastic bags and let it get wet and rotted. Like, they didn't think of it, they weren't thinking of the weed as, like, food or perishable items. So they were just thinking of it as, oh, hey, it's weed. It's worth all this money. We just throw it in a bag and don't worry about it. Like, so all of that was pretty funny. Like, you guys are idiots.
Yeah, that was a great scene, and it was also good because you see how,
Ava.
Yeah, Ava seems to know more about, because remember, because basically they have a guy who clearly was going to buy it from them for like $100,000 or whatever, and he's just like, you've got rats there, it's moldy and everything, and Ava's trying to smooth things out, being like, you know, we're sorry you came all the way down here, and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, the idiot partner guy's just like, well, you're going to take it? And I was just like, oh, moron, you know? Like, but, yeah, I thought that was good. I really love Ava stepping in, and basically she's a better second command for Boyd than the idiot partner that he picked when they go to sell the pot, and the pot, of course, it's all, like, rotted. I was surprised that Raylan's dad, I think Raylan's dad really wants $100,000, but I never really think Raylan's dad's an idiot. Like, that guy, I don't remember, the guy who used to have the mohawk last season, that guy's a total moron.
The guy that used to have the mohawk is in prison, too. Remember he was standing...
Who's the guy that was the second in command guy?
He's a different guy, but yes, he's not the idiot you're thinking of.
I was surprised that Raylan's dad was like, oh, you know, that stuff's worth $100,000. I was like, well, no, he's smart enough to know that it's clearly not. So I thought that was a little weird, but I think it's just he's really greedy. He wants the money.
Right, yes. So,
I think what happened is that they didn't realize that the pot wasn't completely dried before they bagged it. They are used to dealing with pot after the fact.
Right.
When Megs used to have everything already ready to go. So
right.
He didn't think of it because he's never had that situation. You could just tell by the look on his face. But this is what's going to happen this year. It's going to be a bunch of guys having to listen to a woman tell them what to do. And unlike Meg's people, these guys aren't used to listening to anybody. In fact, they're not even thrilled listening to Boyd.
Right. The, only their so fear right. of Boyd.
How the women are going to be possibly running the show this year.
I can get behind that.
But it was great that Ava hits him with the frying pan, literally.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, she's good shooting, too, so yeah.
Let's wrap this one up. Next.
But yeah, it was good. You know, I'm happy overall, of course. Justified, you know?
Next up, we want to talk about the season premiere of White Collar. And this is where I wish Tom was on the podcast with me because he's a big White Collar fan. But I shall do this really quickly on my own, which is that White Collar came back after Peter's wife got kidnapped by the bad guy. And he said in exchange for getting the wife back, he wants Neil's treasure. Because Neil, well, he didn't actually steal it, but he ended up in possession of a treasure worth like $15 million or something. And so he's like, give me the treasure, I'll give the wife back. And I like the fact that when we came back, I knew that Peter just wanted to beat the crap out of Neil for even putting his wife in danger. And he was tempted, but I like the fact that Neil didn't even pause and think about, oh, it's $15 million. He was just like, it's her life, you want the treasure, you can have it. He just didn't even fight it. He was just like, you know, we're just going to do whatever we can do to get her back. And I like the fact that also they didn't have Peter's wife just be like damsel in distress. She actually figured out a way to break herself out of where she was. And so she was doing her thing and being really smart while the guys were trying to manipulate the situation and run a con on a con man, which is really hard to do. And it was all pretty good. Like, it all really came together really well. Everybody did their part, and at the end, it just kind of felt solid. But that means that everybody's secret from last season came out, which is that Neil had been lying to Peter the entire season last season about that treasure. So now that's all out in the open, and now they have to deal with the fallout. So this part of the next season is dealing with that fallout and how that's going to go. And because Neil ended up appearing to be a hero at the end of this episode, they're actually talking about, they're having a hearing to take his ankle bracelet off because he's done so much for the community now, except that only Peter knows that he's the one who stole the treasure and they haven't told anybody. So now Peter has to decide, because they're going to have Peter testify for Neil, and that's like, does he lie? Does he tell the truth? Like, Neil did still save his wife, yet he put his wife in danger. So it's like a weird thing, but I like it. I mean, it's really good. So if you're not watching, you should watch. I like it. First season's a little rough, but it really gets really much stronger later. Anyway, that's it. Next up, talk about Glee.
One of their rare good episodes. The thing with Glee that makes me crazy is that they keep jumping around in quality so much. You know, they'll give you these episodes that are really blah and even annoying, and then suddenly out of nowhere they'll give you an episode that really is genuinely good, like, you know, this last one. And this happened to be a really good episode. The songs were terrific and related to the show. They were performed well, and the storyline was interesting, and I didn't feel like slapping shoe too often. Overall, it was terrific. You know, it was nice to see the relationships of the characters growing. I really liked seeing the characters getting together. So I really liked the show. I thought it was a good episode.
Peter?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that I think Glee, for me, the reason why I stick with it is because when they do a good episode, it's not just satisfying like that it's funny. It's satisfying in that it it actually connects with me emotionally, and that's the thing that Glee can do. I would say on a consistent basis, a show we don't really talk about, Parenthood, is like that. Pretty much every week on Parenthood, I end up crying, like, you know, but Glee, this episode, it, like, totally got me and everything. And, you know, the big number they do at the end, because we haven't talked about the episode, Mr. Schuster eventually proposes to... What's the redhead compulsive? What's her name? Do we know what her name is? She's the guidance
counselor. Right, the guidance counselor, and I'm blanking on her name right now.
I don't remember what her name is. But basically, earlier in the episode, he goes to get the permission of the parents, who's one of them is the guy, Ralph Malph, from Happy Days, the redhead. Right. And of course,
and you know this is going to go badly because, you know, I mean, he kicked them out of his house before for being absolutely right.
That's true. But, you know, their big thing is that, you know, do you really want to be married? You know, we love our daughter, but do you really want to be married to her? And look how messed up she is. And the end of the episode is Lips, the blonde guy, has joined the synchronized swimming team because he wants to be cool and he wants to be in a sport. So he picks the only thing he can get on is synchronized swimming. And at the end, they do Rihanna's song, the We Fell in Love, and the line is something like, we fell in love in a hopeless place. And I gotta say, I've heard that song a million times, and it's very catchy, but I never understood the lyrics until that version, where I really realized what the song was saying about, how hopeless things can seem with someone like her, but, you know, he's clearly in love with her and he wants to be with her, and it totally got me. I was totally like, oh, man, it's like... that's really sweet and everything.
They tied in the songs really well. I mean, there are so many times on Glee where they just seem to throw the songs in there for no reason. And it's like, really, you needed to shoehorn that line in there just to get that song in. And in this case, the songs actually related to the show, which I really appreciated. And right from the beginning when they did the bit from Grease, which I thought they did a great job with that.
I even like the when we didn't even talk about Becky having a crush on I'm so terrible at the character's name, the kid in the wheelchair.
We gotta wrap this up guys, quick closing comments.
I gotta say this, Becky's inner voice, genius.
That was fantastic. That was brilliant. I love that. That's how she hears herself. And I thought that was absolutely
fantastic. Okay, we can move on.
All right. Next up, let's talk about Modern Family. And this week's episode was about Jay's dog trying to kill itself in the swimming pool. And Claire's speech or debate. Running for public office, and wow, her family, man, when they take the noose off, or the leash off and let them criticize their mom, it was just like a free-for-all. Like, she felt like she couldn't even speak. It was like, your left side of your face is your good side or your bad side. No, the right side, trust me, I know. And it's just like, wow. That was a really good episode. I laughed like through the whole episode, you know.
I would agree. I thought it was one of their stronger ones recently, and I liked the idea of how, and they had done this earlier in the season, of the characters pointing out how much anxiety and how compulsive Claire can be, and now she's trying to do this debate for this political, I forgot what she's running for, but it's some kind of small neighborhood thing, and just how all her quirks come out and everything. It was really funny. And then, of course, you get Phil going, because they're like, oh, we don't want it to go viral, and of course he ends up saying something that makes him sound like a pervert, and that becomes viral, like auto-tuned, and yeah, it was pretty good. Like, I thought, and I thought anytime you have Jay with the dog, and then you have Gloria, who's jealous of the affection that Jay gives to the, is it Stella? Is that the name of the dog?
Yeah,
it is Stella, right?
So, because when he screamed,
and then she jumps in the water, you know, yeah, it's pretty funny.
Well, they do that, they named the dog Stella so that he could scream, Stella!
That's right.
I like the storyline with the little girl swearing. That was funny.
Oh, right.
That was good too. And then the weird, light, bright dress that they all had and everything that they put her in. Yeah.
I don't even know whose wedding they were going to. Like, I missed who they were talking. I was like, whose wedding? Who's getting married? But
that. Them in really bad taste.
Oh my God, yeah. That so, dress.
And the girl loved the dress, but what I loved is I've been through the child with the cursing in public. And I went through a friend's kid doing it for 6 months as a bad tape recorder, because the first time they laughed, the kid got it, just like she got it.
Right.
And she is using the word at just the right moments, just like this kid did. Every parent of every age that watched that show fell on the floor when she started using the word in the wedding. And I love the look of the bride, the evil look from the bride, but everybody else was hysterical. That was wonderful. And this show is so on the money, it's scary.
Yeah, that was really well done. And that dress, it was just like everything is slightly an exaggeration of real life, but it all just kind of still hits you. So,
I'm sorry. No, the cursing in public, the way the kid did it, that was not exaggerated.
Well, I meant the bridesmaid dress. Like, I seriously doubt somebody does a light, bright dress, but... So it's just the whole bad taste of the bride picking crazy things for their bridesmaids and everything. But yeah, overall it was a good episode. I think everything kind of came together. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. All right.
Definite.
Next up, we want to talk about Suburgatory. All right, Peter, you were very excited about it.
Yeah. You know, Suburgatory is a show that, this is kind of in a weird way, we kind of go back to when we were talking about House of Lies, a show that just seemed really derivative. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Heather's, but it was already stretching it with Mean Girls 10 years ago. But like, I don't know how many more times I could see the, yes, it's the superficial suburban world. Yes, the main character is not superficial. But I have to say that, you know, the show has found its rhythm. And I like Jeremy Sisto from 6 Feet Under and the redhead, although I don't believe in any universe that adorable redhead girl wouldn't be popular, but you know, whatever. Like I think she's obviously a charming girl, and she's kind of like a TV version of Emma Stone. Like she's kind of got the same kind of cadence with her acting, her dialogue and everything. But no, it was good. And this episode was, the boys went to Atlantic City, and at the same time, she wanted to have this boy over at her apartment. And of course the question of like, what's going to happen. And, but it was funny. I mean, I think the show has kind of come into its own. I'm not saying it's as good as Modern Family, but I mean, it's a nice ABC Wednesday night that I think ABC is starting to do. Because I also like happy endings. So I feel like they're getting a good little corner for their comedy nights, you know?
Well, I like this episode. I like the fact that the girl, she was trying to, basically she was trying to have sex with her. Well, she said at least third base or whatever with her boyfriend. And because his whole thing is, I've been to Africa, and that just changes a guy. And I'm just not, I'm all about being slow. And she was like, I don't understand. And he was like, I've seen a vaginal delivery. And he was like, after that, everything is different. And I was cracking up. That was pretty good. And then when they went to Atlantic City, the mild mannered, doctor, or I think he's a doctor. I forgot what he's, I'm getting him confused with what his role was on another show, but he's like the mild-mannered nerd guy, and he loses his mind when they get to Atlantic City and starts trying to gamble everything, and he ends up...
But he's actually good at gambling.
Right. He ends up winning like $12,000, and he's mad because he doesn't know how to explain it to his wife because he's like he's an addict. And right, that's all pretty good.
Right. I mean, that's Anna Gasteyer, and you're talking about Chris Parnell, and they're both Saturday Night Live alums, and they make for a good couple. They have good chemistry together and everything. But yeah, the only thing I didn't like on the whole episode was at the very end, the redhead's friend gave her a like sex box, so it's got like condoms in it and everything. And so at the very end, the dad comes home and he's in her room and he opens the box and he sees the condoms and he's just had a conversation about how much he trusts her. And of course, the point being that like, now he's freaked out, but it was a weird beat for the show to end on because it felt kind of serious. And right. The show's very light,
right?
So that was kind of weird.
All right, but good show. Wrapping up.
Yeah, totally good show. Yeah.
All right, next up, Big Bang, this week. What'd you guys think?
Oh,
I'm gonna go something else.
Wait. One person at a time. Big Bang. What did you think, Amy?
I liked seeing Leonard and Penny get back together.
No, I'm confused. The first one was just in Leonard's head. Like the whole first like 20 minutes of the episode was him just thinking about them getting back together, right?
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was confused because I was like, wait, are we in a time loop? Like, I had like this weird, like, I watched too many sci-fi shows.
Yeah, it was a daydream.
All right. So, but now, so we haven't seen their dinner yet. Right. Okay. Peter, Big Bang.
Still here.
I thought it was good. I would agree. I thought the stuff with Penny and Leonard was actually pretty good. You know, it was actually one of those rare, because Leonard usually kind of annoys me, but actually I thought this episode was a good, like, he felt like a sympathetic character that I was like, well, I can, because again, the whole conversation where she says something like, oh, you know, I'll always love you. And he's like, oh, that's the worst thing. If you add the word always, that's terrible. You know? So I thought that was pretty good, you know? I would think it was one of those episodes where if you like the characters and it's the fact that it's perhaps Leonard and Penny getting back together again, it's a good episode. If you're thinking of it as just a funny episode, it's not that funny. I honestly can't, I don't think I can't, I can think of too many moments in there where I was like, oh my God, that was hilarious. It wasn't really one of those episodes, you know?
Well, I enjoyed the episode, but I'm not sure if I really want Penny and Leonard back together. Like, when the date didn't work, I was kind of like, whew. Because I agree with Penny in that it took forever for them to get their friendship back, that they were really awkward for a really long time. And now they're kind of back to being friends, and I like it. So them getting back together, I'm like, I don't know if I like that. So from that perspective, I'm not sure. But I enjoyed the episode. The episode was good, except for my confusion when we backed, like, the story was like 20 minutes in, and then we backed up back to the beginning, and I was like, wait, what? What just happened? And so that was a little strange. All right, so thumbs up for Big Bang. Next up is Person of Interest. Who watched that?
I did.
What'd you think?
Me. I thought it was a good episode. I think they're getting better because they're really starting to get into the core of what makes the show interesting, which is, you know, the basis of the show, the crux of the relationships, the reason why they're doing what they're doing, and the backgrounds of the characters, particularly Finch.
Yes.
I mean, Finch is really the most interesting of the characters, and every time that they go back into trying to find out what makes him tick and what the background is on him, the show becomes immediately more watchable and more interesting for me. So I enjoy watching that, and I like seeing that little bit brought up, and, you know, something that his partner having a son that we didn't know about before was interesting. So I like that, you know.
Yeah,
so
I think Reese reminds me of Batman sometimes.
He also does the gravelly voice like Batman as well.
Yeah, and he's a vigilante, you know, doling out justice.
And I like that they brought Carter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they brought in Carter now, so now she's in on the plot. But continue, Amy, sorry.
Oh, yeah, just saying that he's, like, jumping in and kicking ass against corrupt government. And
He did a great Batman thing where the girl is, like, the lawyer, she's, like, walking with her headphones on, and the killer comes behind her with a gun, and he literally comes out of nowhere and tackles the guy, and because she's got the headphones on, she doesn't even realize, and she just keeps walking. So that was a very Batman-esque thing. But it was pretty good. And I like the fact that they're keeping continuity where he got shot a couple weeks ago. So even though he's normally really good in a fight, this guy kind of hits him where where he got injured, and he's kind of down for the count. And he can't really fight as well as he usually does.
Mm-hmm. It would be great if he just broke out with, "I'm Batman."
Just said it.
Yeah.
And then they had the whole, they've got the two assets, the two cops that are
not knowing about each other.
Yeah. And their report, it's like, she's making suspicious calls. And he's like, hold on one moment. You know, he's like, he's talking to them both on the phone at the same time. That was all pretty good.
It's like, yeah, that's okay. Don't pay attention to her. It's all right. I got it handled.
Yeah, that was good. And then, but the only thing that I thought was unbelievable is that the big cop, is following Finch, and Finch, and like, he's right behind Finch, and Finch doesn't see
him.
And I was like, we've had Reese try to tail Finch before, and he fails. Like, he's a CIA operative, and he fails tailing Finch from, like, way far away. And this guy is following him right behind him, and Fitch
knows. He's like 20 feet behind him. And it's like, I'm sorry, Helen Keller would know he was there. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought
it's like
that
he'll
was
never
silly.
Know he's there unless he turns around.
I thought that was silly. But other than that, I thought the episode was really good. So it was one of their best ones, especially now that Carter's on board as a team player.
Yeah. It was about time. You know, they needed to bring her in.
All right, so let's wrap that up. Thumbs up, good person of interest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, next up is Vampire Diaries. What'd you guys think?
We saw it.
Well, I watched two Vampire Diaries in a row, so it's a little bleeding in for me. But I gotta say, I think you had mentioned this to me, you know, out of the podcast, Olivia. But I have to say, I guess I'm agreeing with you. I do think that the actor playing Stefan, he is actually starting to feel like he's pulling off the evil or whatever,
yeah.
Because I wasn't really buying it, but I don't know, man. Lately, I'm like, he really does seem like that's all that matters to him is beating Klaus and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the whole scene on the bridge, and I was just like, man, I really felt bad for Elena. I was like, oh, man. I was like, that's harsh, man, emotionally, like, physically. Yeah, so...
Yeah, he's pulling off the evil in a good way, because I really didn't buy it last season or the beginning of the season. I was like, yeah, okay, sure, he's evil. Now I really do believe it. Now I'm like, all right, yeah, he's evil. Only reaction he had was when he finds out that Elena and Damon kissed. That's the only crack in his big evil veneer. Where
yes, I would agree.
Yeah, he just like, he didn't... But I mean, he didn't get really super emo or anything. He basically was like, you know, all right, I'm just not talking to you a little bit. And yeah, I'm a little bit angry. But no, I think he told her, neither one of us are good enough for you. Like, that's all he said. He's like,
you're right. I think that was his thing.
And then he went and punched out Damon. And that was it. But I mean, that still goes with the evil. But he wasn't like, oh my God, Elena, come back to me. Which is what I was afraid he was going to do. And man, I can't believe that Klaus got the freaking coffins back. But greatest twist ever at the end when Damon has the knife, and I was like, who the heck did he pull the knife out of? And it was freaking, who is it? What's his name? Elias.
Yeah.
Elias, right?
No, Elijah.
Elijah. Thank you. So he pulls.
It's like, it's great because it's like he was on pause. He's like, what did I miss?
No, that was great.
What did I miss? That was really good. I really want to know who's in all these coffins, and of course, what do you think's in the locked coffin?
I have no idea. I mean, it ripped away Bonnie's mother, all of her magic got ripped away by putting that spell on.
I have no idea.
I think that all of that is great. I mean, we have this whole mystery. We don't know what's going on, and I still don't trust that doctor. Like, she's supposedly revealed all her secrets.
I was trusting her until near the end. I didn't trust her when we first met. And this, so I'm like, all right. She's like, well, this is what I'm doing. I want to save people. I'm like, okay. But then when she goes for the ring, I'm like, I don't know about that. You know?
Yeah. So, she tries to pull his ring off. No. And she goes, like, what? Do you think I'm a vampire? I was like, I don't know what you are. I don't take my ring off for anybody. Thank you.
Yeah. Like, I don't care. Like, don't touch the ring, man. Like, I don't care. Yeah, exactly. Like, I agree.
Oh, and the stuff with Tyler and him, like, the dad, Caroline's dad, like, he's talking to Tyler, and he's like, you gotta change, or I'm gonna cut you up with this axe. And so then he changes, and he's like, these chains aren't strong enough, and he just rips the dad in half. I was like, oh, man. But they conveniently had vampire blood to heal him, and he's like, all right, we're gonna do it again tomorrow. Like, are you kidding me? That guy is all. I now think that Caroline's dad is awesome. Like, who comes back from a werewolf attack and is like, yeah, let's do it again tomorrow? Wow.
True.
Oh, he's impressive. And I'm like, if he can be like, let's do it again tomorrow, then you can freaking turn into a werewolf again, you know? So, yeah, better change next time. All right, so thumbs up, really good. I don't know what Elijah's going to do. I don't know what kind of monkey wrench, but apparently there will be new alliances. And the thing I love about Vampire Diaries is all the alliances. Everyone is making deals with everyone else, and everyone's breaking those deals, and it's fantastic. So, looking forward to it.
Great.
Next up, let's talk about Fringe. And I think this one was called The Enemy of My Enemy. Did anybody else see it?
Yes.
So what'd you think, Allison?
I thought it was an outstanding episode. And that's a good thing, because Fringe has been kind of meh for a while now, and they really could use a really great episode, and this was one. They you know, got to the core of who is behind the shapeshifters, and in a great way, because they brought back a character who we thought was pretty much dead and gone from the Fringe universe for a long time now. The character of David Robert Jones, who was one creepy character who really hasn't been around since second season, and who Peter killed by cutting in half between universes. And in this universe, of course, Peter not existing, that didn't happen. So he's survived and has been behind these shapeshifters. And he's just as evil as he's ever been. And this episode was brilliant, showing, you know, who is on what side. And Broyles, apparently, is one of his creatures. And it was a fantastic episode all around. It really was. And it was wonderful to see the dynamics of the characters interacting and see Walter from our side, if you want to put it that way, finally coming to grips with Peter's existence and being willing to help him finally.
That was a really emotional scene.
That was a brilliant scene, yeah.
Yeah, because now it's like, part of my problem was, okay, we're in a whole other universe, and so the dynamics between the characters is off. So no, like, mm-hmm. there's no tightness of your characters. But now that you have Walter willing to accept Peter, and that conversation that they have was really emotional, I'm like, all right, we have Peter and Walter back together. And yeah. And I liked his comment. He was like, the Walternate was a better man than I expected, and you're exactly the man that I knew you were. And I was
yes.
like, oh, I was like, I'm gonna cry.
I hope that's a good thing. Yes, it is, Walter. Oh,
that was really good,
because, you know, part of what's been a problem with this season is that there is this huge emotional void, where, you know, all these characters were so closely knit, and then suddenly we've got this huge vacuum emotionally. Nobody's close to each other, nobody's together anymore, and especially where Walter is concerned, because he would do everything and anything, he would move worlds literally for Peter, and suddenly he won't even be in the same room with him, and that was just a huge feeling of emptiness in right. this show. And now that he's you know, back to feeling close to him and helping him, that's just a huge plus for me as a viewer.
Right, I agree. So I'm very happy right now. Even though I do want him to get back to his real world or reset mm-hmm. everything, I do want that to happen. Having Walter and Peter back together really just adds to the show. So thumbs up.
Definitely.
So remember, if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. And listen to us on GetThePointRadio.com and KryptonRadio.com. And keep your ears open for our Spartacus interview special. And if you want to see the videos, head on over to WheatonOpolis.com. I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.